Women started serving as justices on the Oregon Supreme Court back in the early 1980s, and quite a few women have served since. But there had never been a woman chief justice on the state Supreme Court until a month ago today. That's when Martha Lee Walters moved into the job after more than a decade as an associate justice. Let's catch up on this moment in history and the person at the center of it. Martha Lee Walters, chief justice of the Oregon Supreme Court, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's great to be with you.
It's not like women are underrepresented in Oregon courts. There are many women judges around the state and justices on the Supreme Court as well. What took so long to get a chief justice?
Well, we don't have chief justices elected that often, and it takes some experience to be able to take it on. So first you have to be on the court and learn for a while, and then you get a chance. So Betty Roberts was the first woman justice on our court in the early 80s. And until recently, we hadn't had a woman justice who stayed on the court for as long as I've been here. So I think that's what we attribute it to.
So Oregon, as you point out, is a state that votes for Supreme Court justices. But to get on the court, how is the chief justice selected?
It depends when the vacancy occurs. If there's a vacancy during the term, if a justice resigns during her term, then the governor appoints and the justice has to run in the next general election. If a justice serves out her term, then there's an open seat and anyone can seek to be elected to that seat.
So do the associate justices choose who among them will be the chief justice?
Yes.
So this is a vote of confidence from your colleagues.
I think it is, and also a recognition that someone has to do. It's a tough job, and so not everyone wants to do it.
Thomas Balmer, who is still on the court as an associate justice, vacated the chair, and I wonder what words of wisdom he might have had for you as you assumed it.
He has helped so much, and he will stay on our court. So it's very fortunate for me that I'll still have him as a colleague to be able to consult from time to time. But his main words of wisdom have been, don't try to take on too much, too fast, be selective, and focus.
And what are some of the duties of Chief Justice? I mean, you preside over the court, but that can mean different things, I imagine, in different Supreme Courts. And so what does it mean in the Oregon Supreme Court?
You know, Jeffrey, this is really interesting and something that not everybody might know, but there are kind of two different aspects of my new job. One is to preside over our court, the Supreme Court, and the seven justices and the work that we do. And the other is to act as the administrative head of the entire branch of the judicial system. So not only do I have roles with regard to our court, I also am thought of as the leader of the Court of Appeals, the Tax Court, and all of the trial courts. And that's where the new challenges come, because that's not something that I've done before. I've been a member of our court and I know how it operates, but to take on the role of leading the branch is that's the real overwhelming and challenging part of the new job.
So that's a whole lot of courts and a whole lot of judges, but I mean, would you ever have any dealings, for example, with circuit court judges in Jackson or Lane counties or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, definitely. That there are presiding judges in each of those counties, and I meet regularly with them, and we plan what it is that the trial courts are doing, talk about the problems they're having, talk about what we can do to respond to the changes in our society, to be responsive to the people. And so we're working as a system to try to be the courts that we want to be.
We are getting to the point in society where a woman holding a formerly man-only position for the first time is becoming rare. I mean, we're getting fewer, you know, first woman whatever.
Right.
But here we are with a first woman chief justice. This is an honor, I'm assuming.
It is an honor, and there will always be firsts. I tell people, I think I'm the first chief from downstate as well as the first woman. So there's all different ways in which people are firsts. Everybody has something unique to offer, and we'll always have that. But it is great to see that the change that's happened in my lifetime in terms of the positions that women have held.
It's interesting. You said downstate, so it has sort of been a Salem-Portland kind of corridor up till now, hasn't it?
In terms of the chief, yes. We've we've generally had some downstate justices, but not a chief.
All right, and you come from Eugene and started an all-woman law firm there. Tell us about the early years in the law business for you.
Well, I went to work at a firm where I clerked as a law student, and then a partner of mine, a mentor of mine, and I broke off and had our own smaller firm for a number of years, and then he moved to Portland, and I joined in with a woman who was an associate at our firm and another woman who we had met in the community, and the three of us formed, I don't know if it was the first all-women firm, but it was an early iteration.
And why an all-woman firm? Was it just because these are the people that you decided
right.
to form a firm with?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We didn't set out to be some pioneers. It's like Betty Roberts. She said, you know, I had to make a living. That's why I went to work as I did. And that was what we had the same interests and the same values and started out together and really enjoyed our practice together. And we brought some men in as partners who also shared those values and interests. So it turned out to be a wonderful practice.
Martha Lee Walters is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court, and therefore the administrative head of the entire judicial branch of the state of Oregon. You can join our conversation on the Exchange with questions for the Chief Justice or comments. 800-838-3760 to join by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Chief Justice, what kind of law did that firm in Eugene focus on?
We did a lot of employment law. We represented businesses and cities that employed people, and we also represented employees who had grievances about what had happened in their workplaces, sexual harassment claims, wrongful discharge claims, claims for reasonable accommodation because of disabilities. So we looked at people's role in their workplace from a lot of different perspectives. We also did family law, and we also did city law and some business law. We didn't do the couple things that we didn't do where we didn't do criminal law and we didn't do workers' compensation or trust and estates, I guess, is another tax. We didn't do tax.
Mm-hmm. All right. But generally where people had some needs, particularly relative to employment and stuff like that, was where
you were. People law. Is what we did.
People law. How hard can it be for people most in need to get quality representation when they need it?
It can be very, very difficult, and that's one thing that we really are trying to work at as a court, to continue our focus on providing access to justice. We have more and more people who come into our courts without representation, and we need to work on meeting their needs.
What are some of the things that can be done then to make sure that people do get adequate representation?
Well, in terms of them getting lawyers, we need to provide support for our legal aid system, and we need to provide support to the bar to think about the Oregon State Bar that represents the lawyers. We need to help them think about innovative ways of helping lawyers develop practices that are focused on the needs of the poor and the middle-income people. So we can just encourage that and help them think creatively about it. But when people come into our courts without representation, we can make sure that they're heard, that they know how to access the courts, how to maneuver within them. And that takes a lot of resources to be able to provide that support.
Does the judicial branch ever go to the legislative branch or to the governor, the executive branch, and say, you know, these are things that actually might help if you made the law this way? I mean, granted, everybody assumes that what happens in courts is the laws come to you or they're contested in court, and you get to say, yep, that works, or nope, it doesn't. But, I mean, do you ever come back to the other branches of government and say, you know, this might work down the road?
That is a really good question. Yes, we do. Yes, there are proposals all the time about changes in the law that are needed to make things work better.
Like what?
Well, we recently worked on improving legal representation in child dependency cases, and worked with the governor and the legislature to make sure that the dependency system was crafted in a way so that there was legal representation for children and for parents and for the Department of Human Services, so that all of the people in that system were represented and could therefore receive better outcomes.
Chief Justice Walters, I noticed we mentioned Betty Roberts a couple times, the first woman on the Oregon Supreme Court. We did have a chance to have a great visit with her when her bio was out a few years before she died.
Oh, great.
Did you get a chance to know her? I know she graduated from law school the same year that she got onto the court.
Yes, I did get to know her, and it was one of the great treats of my lifetime. She told me once that she had had this dream, like not a waking dream of the future, but an actual nighttime dream that came to her, that she looked over her shoulder and sitting on the bench was an entire bench of women on the bench. And when we had the first seven, it took a long time after she was on the court for seven women to be appointed to the appellate bench. And when that happened, we had a picture taken with all seven of us. I was the seventh. And so we had a picture taken of all seven of us sitting up there on the bench and her looking over her shoulder at us. And she worked so hard. She was a wonderful mentor to so many people, including me. And we felt so happy to see represented with real people everything that had mattered to her. It was wonderful. She's a really fun, terrific, inspiring person.
We had a really great visit with her before she died. It was really good to get
she's
a chance.
She's very spunky, isn't she?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, at that time, though, when she first got onto the Supreme Court, did either she or you or anybody else think it was going to take another 36 years before they'd be a woman Chief Justice?
I'm sure that it's because of her that she deliberately set about helping women to advance in their careers so that they could become judges and then justices. So I don't know how long she thought it would take, but I knew she knew that it would take work.
Right, and it did indeed. We're talking about Betty Roberts with Oregon Supreme Court Chief Justice Martha Lee Walters, the first woman Chief Justice in Oregon. You can visit on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. One of the differences, obviously, between state and federal Supreme Court is that you have to work to stay there and get reelected, which you've done twice. What is it like, though, I wonder, to run for office as a justice, to hold a position of assumed rectitude and yet still have to put on a campaign with at least a vote for me in the voter's pamphlet kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I haven't had opposition in my races, so it hasn't been as difficult, although it's important to stand for election and use that as an opportunity to educate people about what the courts do and who we are. There have been judges, Justice Linder, who was on the court with me, she ran in a contested election, and it's very difficult because you can't talk about how you're going to decide cases that come before you. You can only talk about your general judicial philosophy and your experience, and it's hard for people to know. It's hard. You're not taking positions like usually happens in a political campaign, and so it is very different.
Well, you do have to run for office, but I wonder if, when you think about what justices have to do to get on the U.S. Supreme Court and face the Senate Judiciary Committee and stuff like that, if you're more than happy just doing what you're doing here.
Do I prefer our system?
Yes.
Yes.
Straightforward and to the point. Well, like any judge, as you pointed out just a moment ago, you have to keep opinions close to the vest. But as a graduate of both the University of Michigan as an undergraduate and the University of Oregon Law School, whose T-shirt do you wear when they meet in football?
You know what happened, Jeffrey? Oh, my gosh. I went to when Michigan came to play Oregon, I had on my I can't remember. I had on one T-shirt and switched to the other. I didn't know who I was really going to be jumping up and down for until the the ball was thrown in the air. It was funny. I root for the underdog generally.
Jokes aside, I mean, is rooting for the underdog a fairly important thing for a justice to do? I know Barack Obama caught all kinds of hell for saying that he thought the justices needed to have compassion, but they do, don't they?
Yes, you have to have compassion. But there, I mean, compassion can be, yes, you have to have compassion. You should. It's important.
So all right, football and compassion aside, what would you say have been some of the more interesting cases you've heard as a Supreme Court justice in Oregon?
Oh my gosh. You know, every single one of them is interesting. I don't, in terms of the people who are listening, it's hard to explain them in short bursts. Cases about search and seizure are really important when Oregonians can be stopped. And what they can be stopped for and the kind of questions that they can be asked in what circumstances. It's important that we have warrants be issued before there are searches, unless there's a good reason for an exception. So I've learned a lot about that, and it's very important to all Oregonians, our constitutional rights. Then we have cases about how to interpret our criminal statutes and what constitutes a crime and we just had a case about what kind of actions can constitute theft or be punished as aggravated theft. So I don't know, there's all sorts of, it can be a little complex to try to, explain the ins and outs of it, but
well, Chief Justice, let me ask you this then: since it's part of the work is to interpret the Oregon Constitution, which is very wordy, like a lot of state constitutions, as opposed to the federal one. I mean, does that add to the complexity of the job of a justice on the Oregon Supreme Court?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the provisions are very similar to those on the federal Constitution that aren't wordy at all, equal protection of the law. You know, it's just that can be open to a lot of interpretations. Reasonable search and seizure, you know, it doesn't tell you everything about what that means. And so in those instances, there's a lot left to precedent and interpretation. Then we have some of the newer provisions that have been included in our Constitution that are much lengthier and aren't those kind of more general guiding principles, but very specific victims' rights provisions, tax provisions, and it doesn't make it necessarily more complex, but there are more things that the Constitution controls than maybe in the federal system or in other states.
All right. Always a lot of work, no question. So we'll let you get back to it. Oregon Chief Justice Martha Lee Walters, the first woman Chief Justice on the Oregon Supreme Court. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
All right. Pleasure. Best of luck in the job.